Welcome to The Mental Breakdown. This is Dr. Bernie Wilkinson. And today's podcast is going to not address a particular question or anything from a listener, but it is going to talk about a recent event that happened over the last 24 to 36 hours, and that is the mass shooting that occurred in Orlando, Florida this past weekend. To date, the information that we have suggests that an individual entered a nightclub and opened fire, killing at least 50 and injuring more than 50 more. And while the news on Sunday was full of questions and suppositions and theories, one thing that it didn't spend too much time focusing on is what comes next. So the purpose of today's podcast is to talk a little bit about what to expect and where we go from here. Now, of course, this is going to be very challenging for a number of reasons. One of the big reasons that it's going to be challenging is because it's still a huge news story, which means that we are going to continue to be bombarded with information, again, with theories and suppositions about why it happened, could have something been done about it. But I want to encourage you to consider your exposure to that information. And here's why. As I was listening to the news yesterday, like many of you, I was stuck to the screen a little bit, listening to and following all the updates. But one of the underlying themes that seemed to be ever present was the idea that we are all unsafe, that we are all in danger. I heard news reports talking about how we need to, anytime you enter a building, you should immediately scan and find all of the points of exit, that we should teach our children to do that, that we should always be watching, be ever mindful of those who are around us and those who may potentially do us harm. And early in the morning on Sunday, as I was just hearing all of this information, I wrote a blog post talking about it. And in the blog post, and the blog post was written before I really had much information about the total outcome of the incident. I noted in the blog post the issue with that type of fear, because that type of fear brings about stereotypes, it brings about chronic stress, it brings about fear that we then pass on to other people, others that we love, others that we are working to take care of and that we want to protect. And this culture of fear is very concerning to me, and I think to most mental health professionals, because that is the source of so many mental health concerns as well as many medical concerns and just physical health concerns. So, you know, be careful, be mindful of how much exposure you get to the news sources. It really is going to bring more pain, more sadness. This morning, there were, of course, the reports coming out, and if you follow things on Facebook and all the various trends on social media, you see that the police officers were going through and having to turn cell phones off because the cell phones of the victims continued to ring with loved ones trying to reach them. And there was another post out of a woman whose son was in the nightclub when everything was happening, and she was getting text messages from him. And these stories are incredibly sad, incredibly touching, and incredibly tragic. And while those types of stories are going to continue to be published and disseminated, again, be mindful of where you are psychologically, and only expose yourself to those things that you can truthfully manage at this time. This is a very tough time for everyone. And it's important that you be mindful for your own mental health and your own stability. I didn't know anyone in the nightclub, as far as I know, many of my friends who live. Of course, we broadcast this podcast from Central Florida, just about an hour west of Orlando. And so I know a lot of people who live in Orlando, and a lot of my friends and colleagues travel to Orlando regularly for going out in the evenings and things like that. And so as of right now, I don't know of anyone that I know personally who was there, but I know that for my own mental health, I have to be mindful of how much exposure I receive of that information. So as we receive this information and think about how we have to move forward with our lives, there are a couple of things that I would encourage you to consider. The first is, it's completely natural and normal for us to look for someone to blame. We want to know who's responsible, why they did it. And of course, the idea is that if we know why it happened, then perhaps we can prevent it from happening again. And my typical response to that, I don't think it really changes despite this particular incident, but my response to that is that it's impossible to anticipate the unexpected. When something happens and we have to ask ourselves, why would it ever have happened the way that it did? That's a good indication that no matter what we knew beforehand, it couldn't be anticipated. It couldn't have been prevented. It couldn't have been thwarted in any particular way, because if we had anticipated it, then we could have done something about it. But when these horrific incidents come out of nowhere and we find ourselves asking why, then certainly this is a situation that's unexpected and unpredictable. And so finding the person to blame, while it will potentially bring some relief, understand that that relief is going to be generally limited. And what I mean by that is, you know, there was the report on Sunday that ISIS had taken responsibility for the incident in Orlando. Now, if we say, okay, ISIS is to blame, where do we go from there? Most of us already despise the ideals and the motivations of ISIS. So we already dislike and oppose and want to end their motivations, their drives, their missions. So now what? Okay, so now we know that they're involved, but does it really change anything? Does it adjust how you feel about it or how you anticipate things in the future? And typically it doesn't. Typically it doesn't change anything. And sure, it can bring perhaps some comfort to suggest that, well, this is something that would only happen under the guidance or motivation of a group like ISIS. It certainly doesn't relieve the fact that it was still seemingly completely random. You know, why that location? Why at that time? Why that night? Those are all questions that we will never be able to answer. And so while knowing who to blame perhaps will bring some mild relief, it certainly doesn't change what has happened and where we have to go from here. So again, while it's natural to look for someone to blame, do be cautious about how much energy you put into that drive. So as we shift to our next steps, and well, as I look at the clock, I'm recording this on Monday morning. And so this is Monday after it happened. So it's about 7:30. So I'm right at 17 and a half hours or so after the incident was first reported. And everyone involved, those who were there, those who had loved ones that were there, those who lived in Orlando, those in the community, those in the world who heard about and watched as some of the events unfolded and As we all were exposed to this information, we're all in the process of mourning. We're all in the process of grieving for those whose lives were lost. And that is completely normal. That is completely, that is exactly where we need to be. We're supposed to be at that point. And so we need to make sure that we mourn our loved ones instead of allowing that mourning to turn into hate and to turn into anger and to turn into aggression or frustration or a motivating factor to overgeneralize or attack others. We're going to mourn, and that mourning is going to last some time. You know, many of the lives lost were young adults, some teenagers. It's my understanding that that particular night they allowed anyone over the age of 18 in, whereas they typically restricted to over 21. So there were some younger people there that night. And so it's clear that many of the people whose lives were lost were young adults, teenagers. And not that that is, you know, markedly different than someone in middle age or someone who's older, because a life, a loved one lost is a loved one lost, whether that person is 23 years old or that person is 43 years old. It's still a father, brother, son, mother, sister, daughter. It's still someone whose life was important and valuable. So expect to mourn, expect to work through this process. And this process takes time. It takes weeks, months sometimes, but it's a process that you have to work through. You have to manage those feelings, those thoughts, those emotions, and process them in a way that's going to help bring about some, not really a resolution, but a sense of acceptance. And of course, this brings us to the five stages of loss and grief. And there are, well, we call them the five stages, but we really don't work through them like stages. They're just actually five aspects of grief. And so we have the denial and isolation. But the one that we really have to be careful with is the stage of, or the step of, or the state of anger. We have to be careful of that one. But the five stages or steps are denial and isolation. The second one is anger. The third one is bargaining. The fourth one is depression. And then the fifth that we all hope to achieve in some way is acceptance. And not accepting that what happened was okay, but certainly acceptance from the perspective of this happened and where are we going next? What is the next step in life taking us? So we're going to have to work through those various states, and you may be one who experiences all of them. You may be one who experiences one or two of them, but the goal, of course, is to get towards and move towards acceptance. Now, for many people, this is going to require some therapy. Bereavement counseling is usually available at community mental health centers. There are a lot of community-based, insurance-based facilities that offer bereavement counseling, grief counseling. So if you are struggling and you're having a difficult time handling it, even though it's only 17 and a half hours out from the incident, or by the time this posts, it will probably be Tuesday morning, so you know, 48 hours after it happened. If you're struggling, please get help. Go see a mental health professional. See someone who's going to help you, who's going to listen, who's going to be there to assist you as you work through this process. So therapy is something that is definitely beneficial. You know, we talk a lot about research on this podcast. The research is pretty consistent with that. The benefits of therapy in these kinds of situations is very powerful. So make sure that you get the support if you need it. It's not a weakness. It's not a sign that you can't handle things. It's a sign that you understand yourself well enough to know that you need some support to get through what you need to get through. Also, understand that and monitor how you're feeling over time, because many people who had a loved one in the nightclub, many of those who were in the nightclub, may end up experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder, or at least symptoms of what they call acute stress disorder. And those symptoms, again, definitely need and warrant mental health treatment. You want to work with someone who is knowledgeable about PTSD so that they can help you work through that process and manage those symptoms so that you can recover as best as possible and be able to manage things into the future. The last piece, as far as in this acute phase of moving forward, is surrounding yourself with loved ones. You know, we tend to, if we're not careful, many of us tend to isolate ourselves when we're going through these kinds of issues. We certainly know people who probably spent much of yesterday alone in a room watching the news, so their depression, frustration, anger, rage is being fueled by reports from the scene, but at the same time, they're isolated, alone, and not in a environment of love and support from their family. So we definitely encourage you to surround yourself with people, with loved ones that can be supportive, that can help you manage these symptoms and resist the tendency to overly ruminate and become stuck in your thoughts and feelings, but instead process them, talk about them, and remember. Not remember anything particular, but just remember the person, remember the loved one. You know, the ultimate goal is to, again, get to that stage or that state of acceptance through the grief process. And when the pain eventually subsides, you don't want your memories of your loved one to be tainted by hate and frustration and malice towards the person or a group of people whom you blame for this act of violence that stole this important person from you. Instead, you want to be left with the positive memories of your loved one. You want to be left with the celebration of the life you had with them and left with the memories of why that person was important to you. And although they won't be here in physical form, your memories will allow them to remain with you for the rest of your life. So again, it's a process. It's a challenging process. There's nothing easy about any of this. And again, this podcast has been very difficult for me to record, not because I knew anyone directly, but because these types of events are so incredibly powerful and sad. And so I'm going to end the podcast saying that all of our hearts and thoughts and prayers are with anyone involved, directly or indirectly, in the incident that occurred. And certainly, if there is any support that we at The Mental Breakdown or we here at our practice, Psychological Associates of Central Florida, just an hour west of Orlando in Lakeland, if there's anything that we can do to help or support any of the efforts, please feel free to, we encourage you to contact us and let us know what we can do to help. That's not a solicit for business. It's a solicit to offer help and support in this time of distress. So, okay. Well, that ends probably the most difficult podcast I've ever recorded. So until next time, this is Dr. Bernie. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I look forward to talking with you under better terms in the next podcast. And do, regardless of recent events, forget to be afraid.